Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the text we just heard, verse 10, Isaiah 35, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. One of the deepest human longings is the longing for home. And one of the worst things that a human can suffer is homelessness. We yearn to be home. And that's especially true during the holidays, during this season of the year. There's nothing quite as difficult as being away from the home and the people one loves. In the background of our reading from Isaiah 35 stands this longing for home. You see, Isaiah is looking ahead to a time when God's people will be away from home, when they will be in exile, living in a foreign land, but yearning to be home. It's a situation that's captured so vividly by Psalm 137, where you hear the sorrow of the people who are living in exile. It says, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion, home. On the willows there we hung up the lyre. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? In exile, there's no singing. There's no joy. The musical instruments are packed away. Life becomes difficult and a dirge. But it's not just that God's people are away from the land of Canaan. No, it's far worse than that. In truth, it's been exile ever since the time of Adam and Eve, when they were sent out of Eden. All the people have been away from home since Adam and Eve were kicked out. We have no permanent home here. In this life, you might say that we're all strangers and exiles to one degree or another. And so often we share some of the blame for being estranged from the world God made, for being estranged from others and at odds with other people, for having no home. And deep, deep down, we have this longing to be back. We have a longing for home, not just for the home of our childhood, but we have a longing to be back in Eden, to be back in the paradise that God originally created. And the question is, how to get back home? How will we make it from this land of exile back there to the paradise that God created? And as Isaiah describes this return home, he begins by talking about the wilderness and the desert, the land that the people have to cross, we have to cross to get back. The wilderness and the desert are an inhospitable place. Nothing grows there that we could eat. There's no water there. It's a place of danger and of death, of extreme cold and extreme hot, of hunger and of thirst. But that's not what Isaiah sees when he looks at the wilderness and the desert, because God has given him eyes to see something else. He sees that the wilderness and the dry land are glad. He sees the desert rejoicing and blossoming with crocuses. He hears joy and singing. He sees cedars of Lebanon growing up in the wilderness and the roses of Sharon blossoming there. The whole wilderness landscape changes. And how does it change? He sees the glory of the Lord. As he says, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Consider the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt in the Exodus. The glory of the Lord went before them and followed after the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. God's real visible presence led them through that wilderness. That's what Isaiah sees. The glory of the Lord, a visible presence of God who leads the way for his people, who draws them forward, whose eyes are lifted up to see him. On the way, you might say Isaiah sees ahead of time the glory of the Lord become flesh and dwelling among his people and making a way for them through the wilderness. He sees our Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees not only our Lord Jesus Christ, but we can have in mind as well how our Lord went into the wilderness for us. After his baptism at the Jordan River, immediately he's driven into the wilderness. He crosses the Jordan River and he goes out to face the temptations of Satan and to face the hunger and the thirst and all of the dangers of life in that wilderness. And St. Luke even tells, or our Lord says even in Luke's gospel, that the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He went without a home. You could say that the place that he finally finds to rest his head is none other than the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ in this way makes a path for us through the wilderness back to our home. Our Lord ransoms us from our sin and from death and from the devil by paying for all of it with his own blood, with his own suffering and death and resurrection. You might say he blazes the trail from this life of exile to our heavenly home by his own death, resurrection, and ascension. He makes the way for us. And so Isaiah says, our God will come and he will save you. He has done it by his death on the cross and his resurrection. But there's also the promise that he will come again, that the glory of the Lord will be visible again on the last day. And he will come and save us, giving us all the benefits of what he did by his life, death, and resurrection. And this is why Isaiah says, be strong and fear not. This is how the Lord gives us strength for the way. When our hands are shaking as we go through this wilderness and our knees are knocking, he steadies us with his own promise. Be strong and fear not. Like the angel speaking to Zechariah or to Joseph or to Mary, fear not. Like the angel to the shepherds, fear not. Like the angel to the women at the tomb, fear not. For your God has come, and he will come to save you. So to all of us who are on our way from exile home, he says again, be strong and fear not. Your God has come, and he will come again. And the blind see, and the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and the mute speak, and the wilderness and the desert are changed into the promised land. And Isaiah sees laid out on this path home a highway. You might say it's like suddenly this wilderness and desert that looks so formidable and intimidating has a major road right through it, a thoroughfare, a place that's level and paved and safe and straight, a way that God has made through the wilderness. And he has made us clean to travel that path with his own holiness. There's nothing wild. There's nothing that can harm us. There's nothing that can stop us from going home on the way that our Lord has made. In fact, Jesus himself said, I am the way. The one who took on our flesh. The one who accomplished your ransom by his own death and resurrection. The one who went as a man into heaven. He is the way home for us. No one comes to the Father except through him, which is to say that all who go through him, all who are brought through him through baptism, all who come through his body and blood will come to the Father. That's his promise. And so we walk on this way, on the way of Christ, not only on what he tells us to do, but on what he himself has done. This is what we walk on. And this is a way for all people, he says, for not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles and for you and me as well. The ransom shall return on the way of Jesus, and we shall return with joy and with singing. The God's people can take those musical instruments back off from the hooks they've been hung on. When you're in exile, it's hard to sing, but when you're on the way home, you can sing so well. And that's what God puts in our mouth tonight. That song of joy, the song that we sing as pilgrims who are headed home on Christ. We can sing joy to the world. Now sing we, now rejoice. O Adam's children, sing. Sorrow and sighing, flee away. Be gone. For we are on the way that leads home, even Jesus Christ himself. A home that is forever. In his name, amen. Amen.